to you in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Old Testament lesson. But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh, for she was afraid." He said, "No, but you did laugh." So when laughter changes to laughter, and in order for laughter to change to laughter, there has to be first a laughter that is a bitter laughter. And that is Sarah's laughter of chapter 18. There's been a promise. The promise has been hanging there, and it hasn't come. And she's waited, and it hasn't come, and she's waited more, and it still hasn't come. It's the laughter of disappointment. The laughter of slowly beginning to think that there's no promise going to come. That everything's just going to end and there won't be what God says He would do. A son through whom God will bless all the families of the earth. But where is he? Descendants as the sand on the seashore, as the stars in the heavens, and where's the promise? It's a laughter of bitterness. It's a laughter of just keeping on waiting. And does God know? Does God understand how we go through life hoping and trudging along and hearing promises, and yet day after day it's all the same and weighs you down? And Sarah's heard the promises. She's heard the promises again and again. Where are they? One last time, Genesis 18, God comes along and gives the promises again, and Sarah, she's full of hearing promises. She's full of not seeing them. She's done year after year after year after year of waiting. After I'm worn out, will I have this pleasure? And there are those disappointments in our lives. Wasn't there a promise that it would be different? What about all the hopes that we had when we were young? Does God know? Does God see? Does God understand what it means trudging through this life? Now the confrontation. The laughter and the bitterness, and God saying, well, here's the Hebrew, Hayipale Mechwa Davar. Is anything with God too hard? God leaves that question to sit. Sit with Sarah and sit in her soul and sit in her heart. Sometimes he does that with his word. And while we have to wait, there's the word just sitting there. And their lives become pattern of interacting with that word that just sits there. And it doesn't matter how long we're waiting, that word will stay there and that word will be there until the time is right. There's another pattern to this. The other part of the pattern is the pattern of grace and surprise. And grace means that God is going to do it, and it's not us that are going to push it along. Time after time, the people of God come to the point where they're absolutely giving up. My favorite example is Moses, who when he was 40 years old, he was all eager. I'm the one that can deliver Israel from Egypt. I'm ready. Lord, here I am. 40 years later, after 40 years of watching sheep, and there's a burning bush, and God says, now's the time. And Moses, 40 years of the disappointment start coming out of his mouth. Who am I? I don't even know how to speak. Why should I go? Nobody will respect me. Send somebody else. Send somebody to help me out with this. I'm not worthy. And here's the thing. At that point, God has Moses exactly where he wants him because Moses knows that it's not him. At that point in Genesis 18, God has Sarah exactly where he wants her, knowing that it's not her and it can't be her and she has no ability to make any of this happen. And that's exactly where you need to be because now it's all going to be by grace. He lets the lesson sink in over the years, and maybe that disappointment is a part of the teaching so that we know that when God does his work, it really is God. And a year later, we come to Genesis 21, and a year later, what has happened? There's Sarah, holding a newborn baby. You know what she's doing? She's laughing. And the laughing is completely different because it's the laughter of surprise and joy and seeing the grace of God and what God has done. Who would have said that Sarah would nurse children? Know what the name Isaac means? How many know? Yeah. The little baby's name means laughter. In the New Testament, an angel comes to a young girl by the name of Mary and says, you will conceive and bear a son, and he will save his people from their sins. And the surprise is there so much that she says, how can this be? That's not the greatest surprise of the Christmas story. There's the manger, the shepherds, their message, going to the temple on the 40th day, having Simeon prophesy, the wise men. And it keeps on going because the Christmas story keeps on rolling until there's a ride into Jerusalem, an arrest, a crucifixion, and a mourning with a tombstone rolled away. And then once again there's laughter. The surprise of it all because God has kept his promise. You know, the thing of it is, the promise that Sarah, the promise that Mary, the promise that the disciples thought was being given, that was too small. The promise that was actually given, way bigger than that. The surprise and the wonder that in that little child, God Himself has come into our world. God Himself has set aside His throne in heaven to walk among us. Because why? Because He delights in us. Because He wants you and me to be with Him forever. Because He has decided to take care of the sin and the separation and give life and glory and have that last through all eternity. The laughter changes. The laughter of bitterness turns into the laughter of surprise and joy, turns into the laughter of enjoying the grace of God, turns into the laughter of the celebration of eternal life, turns into the laughter that goes on for all eternity from the joy that is there in being in the presence of God. And that is what God does for us coming into this world. In Jesus' name, amen.